Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
We love a great story, a story that invites us in, and we're at the edge of our seat because the stakes are high and personal. A story in which we become part of the characters, and we soar with every triumph, and we ache with every travail. We feel it in our bones because we know that it matters. The Bible is this great drama around what Mackenzie has just sung, and the truth that God sang to us, I am for you in his redemptive love. And then the response to God's redemptive love of his being for us is what creates the tension in the scriptures and the tension in your life and my life. Are we for God? Are we allowing God to have his redemptive win in our lives? And are we allowing God to work through us for his redemptive purposes in our world? Are we allowing grace to be the substance of our character and mercy to be the tone of our actions? Is there the expectation that our life matters in a way that we help other people to know that their lives matter? Orson Welles put it this way: if you want a happy ending, it depends, of course, on where you stop the story. And in the stories that the two Sarahs read for us today, is the story about the unfolding of where will this end? And the good news of Christ's resurrection is that God has made clear he has won the ultimate victory: life over death, grace over sin, hope over despair, love over hate, truth over deceit. The power of love wins and it does not let go. But the tension in that truth, to know that the end of the story, is we have to make sure that we have allowed God's grace to write us in the story where we are in the characters working on God's behalf. If we don't do that, then we forfeit the success that Christ has already won for our lives and for this opportune time, for such a time as this, for God to win in the world. When a pandemic became a global pandemic, and a year ago this month, touched our country, and more than 500,000 people have died, we wondered, is this the end of the story? When the economy hit the doldrums a year ago this month, we wonder if it would revive. When the pain of riots and burning happened in major cities across our country, we wondered what it would mean for the future. With the elections that were ever so intense, creating even painful lines of division in families and among friends, we wondered, is there not another way? When our capital was attacked and the source of democracy was desecrated, we wondered, what does this say about us? And the good news, in the midst of all that troubling news, is that the story didn't end there. The good news in the midst of a good news people is that we know because God wins, he's always got a tomorrow to build from today's tragedy, but we've got to be on God's side to make sure that that victory is being written into tomorrow. And so it is that in the first third of Jesus' ministry, he was looking around and he told a mini parable to go along later with what would be a long parable. This mini parable, when people were trying to understand what's really at stake here. Well, Jesus said there was a man who owned the land, and this man who owned the land went to the farmer who was tending the land, and the owner of the land said, I've been watching this fig tree for 3 years. It has yet to produce fruit. I want you to cut it down. For why should it take up the good soil? But the farmer tending the land, the farmer who had placed his hopes that this fig tree would come one day and thrive, ask the owner, give me one more year to work the soil. And if it produces fruit, then so much better, we have all won. But if it doesn't, then know this, you can cut it down, for then it has made its decree that it did not want to thrive. These stakes are high and personal. The story of the gospel is that it is both gift and demand, as my friend and mentor Frank Stagg would say. It is grace, it is pure grace, and how we love the grace. Oh, sinner, poor and needy is our grace. It is my story. It is your story if you've come to that place of honesty of who you are in light of God. But it is demand. It is that our lives have to be able to produce the kind of evidence of the fruit of the living Lord God within our life. And so Jesus told a classic story. It was a classic story with three angles of truth. One truth, but three angles by which to reveal the whole truth about a father's love, a prodigal son's repentance, and an elder brother's anger. Now, 99% of all of you know this story in one way or another. Some of you may be hearing it online or even here in person and thinking, oh, so that story comes from the Bible. It reminded me when I was doing a wedding rehearsal and I read from 1 Corinthians 13 and there was a nightclub singer who was singing for the service. And he heard the 1 Corinthians 13 that faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And he said, wow, man, where does that come from? Can I sing that in the nightclub? I said, yeah. My nephew was in the mountains of Afghanistan with his wife, Nicole, and their boys, working in the midst of a wartime. And in the mountains of Afghanistan, with a very different kind of culture, he told the story of the loving father, the prodigal son, and the elder brother. And he said what was fascinating and also telling is that the majority of the people were pulling for the elder brother because they could each identify with the brother. And if we're honest and part of our human nature, we get what the elder brother is feeling. But we know the grace of God to the prodigal son. But it was the loving father who had the character, strength to be able to pull it all together. We are called to be a repentant prodigal son who becomes a loving father. We are called to be an elder brother who learns about mercy to become a loving father. The loving father in this parable story is not just a heavenly father, but it's an earthly father for whom the heavenly father has grabbed a hold of his heart and transformed him inside and out. Sometimes we let ourselves off the hook by thinking, well, that's just who God is. God does that. Yes, God does. But God does that in such a way that he wants and needs to do it in us. And so this fascinating tale begins with a line. There was a man who had two sons. Now the story could end here and then we would have to fill in all the other information. It was said that Ernest Hemingway was hanging out with some friends and said, I bet you can't write a short story in 10 words or less. And he wrote on a napkin, baby shoes for sale, never worn. 6 words. Jesus opened this story in a way that every family can be called in, whether it be a son or mother and daughters and fathers. All of us have a family story that soars with triumph or it aches with travail. And Jesus opens it up with a family tale. Now we know what unfolds, that in the very next verse, it was the younger son who was angry, I think angry because the mother had died and that there was no way for everyone to hear each other, understand each other, find an acceptance with each other. They were just kind of isolated from each other. And his anger then said, I'm out of here. And he decreed a death upon his father when he said, I want my inheritance. And by pushing his father aside to get the inheritance, then he got it and he went to a faraway country. But in the faraway country, as Jesus told the story, that once all the money was spent and all his friends left him because they were only friends that money could buy, he became in need. See, his need was his weakness, but his need would also be his strength. The need would tell him about his need for something more than what he could get on his own. There is something more. And oh, it was his father who revealed to him something more. His father, who physically was a long distance away. But his father's living words, raise up in a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. The father's loving words of helping to heal skin knees and calling out, you can do this, son, you can do this. And the touch of an embrace, a father's loving words about prayers at night and prayers in the morning, father's loving invitation, come, let's work in the field together. Let's enjoy the labor of the sweat of our talents to be put into place. And when he came to his need, he came to his senses. Oh, to me, that's my favorite line in all of this incredible story of Jesus. Because when he came to his senses, the story of the repentance began. Because when we repent, we begin to come to our senses, to change our lives. We turn from self-destruction towards a father's love. We have a built-in ministry partner called Alpha Home with many people across this city and region. But where courageous women come out of a chemical addiction and say, I have a need, and my need is for my life to change from this destructive pattern. And to come into be an Alpha, a new beginning, a home, a place to belong. And that in this ministry of the heart of Trinity and in our campus along with the city is a clarity to say, I can't do this by myself. But what I say among our Alpha Home women and their families is, I, Les Holland, am a sinner, saved only by the grace of Christ. And that by the grace of Christ, my sins are forgiven and my wounds are healed. And that we're on a journey together. The details of my sin are different from yours, but each of us are on this journey. But we're on the journey in such a way that we're not held back from the past. And so it is, it was the revealing into the future. It was, and then Luke 15, 17 through 18, when he gave this word out to his promise, coming to his senses. He's remembering his father. He said, I can now go back to dad, and I can say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Jesus calls of our lives to be that which embodies then the kingdom of God, the will of God in heaven to be done in our lives on earth. And the story of the prayer of forgiveness of the prodigal is he gets it. He has sinned against his father. And part of the restoration of an Alcoholic Anonymous recovery is then to go to the people whom one has offended and ask for forgiveness. I once was working with a psychiatrist who was working towards his own ordination. And he realized part of that work was then going to his two sons and apologizing to them for some of his addictive behavior in the past. And for one son, he heard it and got it the first time dad confessed and asked for forgiveness. For another son, it took three times. But then he gave the forgiveness and hope and promise. Being put it into words is really essential. Words that convey the heart. And from this then, from the old pattern, the new life begins, a new promise to the future. This photograph captured my attention in the simple, profound image amidst the stump of a tree. A new tree is growing. That God is a God who in his hands, our lives always have a new beginning from the agony of defeat. And we are to be people to help others to be able to grow the new life from the old life. Then to be able to restore. So once we have moved to the place of repenting, then we see in the prodigal son's life, the son that no longer was prodigal, but he was on his way through repentance to a new life, a reclaimed life. And so he went back to the home country. He had experienced what so many of us have experienced, that in the deceit to think that he was saving his life in his own power and ego, he was actually losing his life. And that by actually realizing he had lost his life in God's grace, he was finding his life. That gave him the courage then to return to the home, and return to the home that he could be restored, saving a lost life, saving a lost situation. And what he discovered in the midst of his returning, wondering what how his father would respond, having his story clearly ready to say to his dad, we discover a series of verbs, a series of actions on the dad's part, that the father was looking down the road for the son. The father ran to greet his son. The father then, arriving to his son, hugged him and kissed him, and then called out to the other servants, I want you to give him my ring, my robe, and my sandals, being fully restored to the family. And then he said, not only has my son's sins damaged our family, for which he now has repented. Now he is home. But a whole community. So I want you to invite everybody to come. Everybody to be in the celebration. And for us to be able to party together. One of the greatest artists of all time that most art critics will agree, and even lay people like me can see his genius, is Rembrandt. This old Dutch master in 1661 completed one of his last paintings. He worked on it for a long time. But 2 years before his death, it was finished. He wanted to make sure that his last stroke was put on it just right. And I was, years ago, able to stand in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, just before the painting. It was a moment of silence and no one else was around, absorbing what he was conveying, that in the context and image of Rembrandt's day, there's a wealthy father and the wealthy townspeople are around him. Maybe the elder brother is in the far background with that look of smirk on his face. And the son then is here with his hair is shorn and lice has been infesting his skin. His clothes are torn and he's there on his knees and he's there in a repentant plea. And in the father's tenderness, he holds him close and receives him in. My prayer that when others have come who have hurt you deeply, you've been able to convey the grace of heaven through the mercy of your life and action. And you've been able to say to that person, you then are forgiven. You are forgiven in a way for a new beginning. Because my friends, if we don't do this in America, we will destroy ourselves. My friends, if we don't lead out in this effort in the church for our world, we will destroy ourselves. We will be caught in the loss of what it means not to get it right with a restoration and a celebration. For the Father said, for this my son was lost and is now found. He's dead and he's now what? What? Alive! So let's celebrate. Well, the party began, as you remember the story that Jesus told. But the Father's love had learned through the years to be all-inclusive and wise. And on that sensitive search for the family to be healed as a whole, his eyes searched for the elder brother. And the elder brother was not to be found. And the elder brother was in another part of the farm doing the work, and so he asked what all the ruckus was about. Another servant said to the boss elder brother, why, your dad has thrown a party. He's thrown the best of parties ever given in this home because your younger brother is home, and he is happy. And so the dad went to He went to the faraway country of the elder brother's heart. The brother had remained on the farm, but his heart was far away. It had been hardened by life and resentment. And in the midst of that, the father went with the same grace and the same hope to be able to bring that restoration together of a reconciling power. And so it was to make whole what has been torn apart, reversing the relationships from death to life and lost to being found. We find then in verses 31 through 32 that the father said to him, "We can only do one thing, son. I'm your dad, and all that you have is yours. None of your possessions are going to be taken away. I'm front and center as your father, but your lost brother is back here to be your brother. Come, embrace him." Now, in the classic storytelling of Jesus, that's where he ends the story. Of course, that's caught your imagination, hasn't it? The sense of that Jesus doesn't tell us what the elder brother does. Do you remember how Luke 15 begins this chapter of three parables of lost? It begins by Jesus then addressing the crowd who were filled with sinners and tax collectors. And this, the third climactic parable of the chapter, Jesus then looks around to the crowd and he looks at some of the people who are the elder brothers, who are looking at all the other sinners and tax collectors that everybody else can agree that look down upon because they are worse than everybody else. And Jesus said, "Now they have come to me. Now will you receive them?" Well, it was an unrepentant elder brother that crucified Jesus on the cross. It was the unrepentant elder brother whose heart just became harder. And Jesus, though, gave an opportunity in the story that it didn't have to go that way when he said to them of those, the elder brothers, with ears to hear and eyes to see, "You too can know the Father's embrace of grace." Well, they thought they won. They nailed him to the cross. And they thought that when he was buried in the grave, the story was over. But remember, a happy ending is dependent on where you end the story. And God is the ultimate author. God is the ultimate author, says the story ends with a resurrection. And the story ends with grace dominating. But the story still has an opening. What will you do with this story? What will we do with the story? Oh, we've said yes to Jesus. We're on our way. But this story is more than simply coming home and receiving the embrace and the kiss and the love and the acceptance. The story is about becoming then the loving father out into a hurting world. Oh, and that is hard stuff. But for such a time as this, God has called us with a story for the ages. Let's pray. We love you and we need you and we are grateful that you come with a trust. An invitation is in the heart of your trust to come and belong, to receive your hug, invite others into the party on your terms, to find our place to be. Lord, give us the courage not to be deceived when others are saying the story is done. There is no hope. Rise up in us the courage and the vision to know that you have won in such a way that we then will be your people delivering this good news to a broken world by way of Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.